good news that will bring great joy to all people.
Whether they were walking
here. Yes, the Messiah,
the
Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.
He took it with him, Mary,
to recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly
in
strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
And while they were there, the time
suddenly
came for
the angel
baby to be born.
Was joined by a vast host of others.
She gave birth to her firstborn
son. The armies of heaven,
she
praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven."
And laid him in a manger.
And peace on earth,
there was no lodging available for them.
God is pleased.
That night, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other,
"Let's
go to
Bethlehem.
Staying in the fields nearby.
Let's
guarding
see this
their
thing
flocks
that has happened."
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance
they
of the Lord's glory surrounded
found
them.
Mary and
they
Joseph.
Were terrified.
And there was the baby lying in the manger.
After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Father, add your blessing to your word. Father, may we experience an awakening this Christmas season, whether it's the first Christmas that we know you as Savior or the 80th. Awaken our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know exactly what the shepherds really understood. I mean, they got the message. We don't know that they followed Christ when Christ had a ministry. We don't know how old they were. We don't know the rest of their story. But they had an awakening. Heidi sent me a text this past week on the 13th. She's working. She's a rapper. You guys know that my wife's a professional rapper. Rapping gifts. But I love the thought of her being a rapper. I do. But she sent me a text on the 13th wishing me a happy spiritual birthday because it was 42 years ago on December 13th that I received Christ as my Savior. I experienced an awakening. I can't explain it any other way. It's something that God did. And for the shepherds, God did something that night. They didn't have any choice as to whether the angel showed up or not. Now, it's possible because I'd ask the question, why shepherds? Why didn't the angel show up to scribes and Pharisees? Why not to wealthy people? Instead, shepherds were people that were at the low end of the socioeconomic ladder. These were like below the blue-collar guys. And this was the night shift. You don't get the idea that these were their own flocks. They were probably hirelings, as the Bible would call them in John chapter 10. They were working for somebody else. But did it ever dawn on you that maybe some angels did show up some other places, and maybe those people weren't awakened? And maybe angels even communicated with other people and they heard, but they didn't go to Bethlehem. But the shepherds did. And for that reason, they're a part of the story. And for 2,000 years, we've included shepherds in the story because they showed up. They took the first step. This Christmas, for some of us, we just need to take the first step. God's doing an awakening in our hearts. And you might say, but I've been a Christian for a long time, but you sense it. God's doing something new. Go with it. Take those steps. Wonder is a spiritual component. When I was 17 years old, you can do the math, that was 42 years ago when I came to Christ. Yes, I am 59. My hair is 72, but I'm only 59. But my hair is with me, and I'm happy my hair is with me. Until I went to college, and my parents, I wanted to go to Moody, but my dad, God directed him to send me somewhere else, to a small liberal arts school. Before I went to college, I thought I was pretty smart. I really did. But when I went to George Williams College, which no longer exists, I like to think I sucked all of the knowledge out of it and it just collapsed. But when I got to George Williams, I realized how little I knew. That there were vast disciplines of thought and expertise that I was completely clueless about. That was a phenomenal experience for a 17-year-old. Well, I was 18 by the time I got there. How many of you remember when you used to know everything? Yes. How many of you still know everything? Yes. You can see those young people are raising their hands. Yeah, I still know everything. Just wait. It's a good thing to recognize what we don't know. Problem is, once you think you have the answer, you stop wondering, you stop thinking, you stop growing. So what if that one shepherd hadn't said, "Let's go"? Think about it. I mean, the angel shows up, they're scared to death, and he tells them this baby is born. Well, I mean, that could have been the end of the story. It's like, that's cool. We should check this out sometime. I mean, not tonight. We got sheep to watch after. But sometime. But one shepherd, we don't know how many there were, he says, let's go. Let's do something now about what we've heard. If God is stirring things in your life, I encourage you to do something about it immediately. Last week, we looked at Joseph. When he got the dream in the middle of the night, when he was in Nazareth, and God said, go to Egypt, he got up in the middle of the night. Honey, we're going to Egypt. When? Now. Get Jesus ready to go. There's a theme here that God wants us to not just consider him, but he wants us to act upon the things that he says to us. They left their flocks. That's not what good shepherds do. But they knew that this wasn't an ordinary night. Now, I pointed out when I read through that it said, on that night, a baby was born. And after the baby was born, and then the angel shows up to the shepherds. Now, we have electricity, so we don't think too much about this. But you go anywhere where there's not electricity, do you know what people do after the sun goes down? They sleep. There's other things they do, but for the most part, they sleep. In an agrarian culture, a farm culture, you know, the sun goes down, well, there wasn't much else to do. You go to sleep. So now you got a bunch of shepherds. We don't know how many. We don't know how well-mannered they were. And they're going to town to find a baby that's wrapped in snuggly clothes. Okay? Now, how do they do that? Can you just picture these guys? I don't think they were tiptoeing through town. I think they were probably waking people up. You got a baby in there? I mean, I think they were making a scene. But somehow, God guides them to Joseph and Mary. I mean, how do you find a Savior in a haystack? That's what they're looking for. Bethlehem's not a tiny town. If you've been there, it's not tiny. Here's something else to think about. My wife always says this to me because we do hospital visits, and to me it's a sacred privilege to be able to meet with people so often at a point that's critical in their lives. I enjoy people. I made the observation about myself. I'm working on loving people, but God created me. I like people. It's just something about me. I like people. But Heidi has said to me, Paul, if I'm ever in the hospital, you may visit, nobody else. And there's a lot of people that don't want visitors, especially, like if somebody has a baby, Heidi will say to me, you know, I'm going to go to the hospital. Are you sure it's okay? Are they open to a visit? That's something you always want to know. Are they open to a visit? Would you, think about it, you just had a baby. Some of you know what that's like. You're lying in a hospital bed. Do you want visitors who are complete strangers coming in? Do you want visitors who are coming, who are shepherds? And your manger setup scene there, whatever you want to call the nativity scene there, there's no like hand sanitizer thing there for the shepherds. I'm just thinking, this was a pretty awkward scene. But the shepherds show up. That's what they did. Now, we don't know that they worshiped. It says that the mysterious magi, they worshiped. But they were excited. And then after seeing Jesus, it says they told everyone. It doesn't say they told them the next day. Think about that. They were probably leaving Bethlehem. There's a baby around the corner. He's the Savior of the world. That's what the angel told us. They were excited in the middle of the night, and they're just telling everybody. But Mary, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. She pondered these things in her heart. What a sign, though, this was for Joseph. Because remember, Joseph believed, and God spoke to him. But that was a really nice confirmation for him that angels are talking to shepherds, and the shepherds are coming and saying that this is the baby that's born to save the world. That had to be a nice confirmation for Joseph. The crazy shepherds, they finally decided to go back to their sheep. Hopefully their sheep were still there. But they went back and says, praising and glorifying God. And I mentioned before, do we know if angels visited anybody else? We don't know. But we do know this, that there were no rabbis, there were no teachers of the law, there were no kings who came to visit Jesus as a baby. And it's a reminder that Jesus came for everyone, that he came for everyone. Your social status does not matter to God. Jesus came for you to adopt you into his family. One of the things that I found with the gospel of Jesus, the true gospel of Jesus, it works everywhere. Pam's talking about being down in Kentucky. And the reason why we have folks from our church who make the pilgrimage down in the summer and at Christmas time, it's one reason. It's because of Jesus, to show the love of Jesus. And we have Christian brothers and sisters down in Kentucky, and they're working to make things better for people down in Kentucky. And a lot of us have been to Haiti, and the gospel of Jesus works in Haiti. You don't have to be rich. You're not excluded if you're rich. You're not excluded if you're poor. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. The shepherds are foreshadowing that the gospel is for everyone, and it works everywhere. So what can we learn from the shepherds? It's real simple. And this is the point, if there's nothing else, I want this to be a takeaway for you. They showed up. They had the option to just hear the information and not act upon it, but they showed up. And I'm going to talk a little bit about showing up at church before we're done here, but so much of life is just, it's just showing up. It's just being there for people. It's just recognizing sometimes that people are going through a difficult situation, and not everyone knows it. It's not on Facebook. It's not on social media. But you're aware of it, and so you show up for them. You're just there. Sometimes we just need someone to show up. The angels show up. There's a lot of commotion. There's excitement. But it still took someone to say, let's go. Let's think about the angels or the shepherds for a moment. It's late as far as making a visit. Here are some of the excuses they could have said. It's late. We can leave, check it out tomorrow. We can't leave our flocks. We're shepherds. We're not clergy. That's one of the great, there's not a lot of great privileges being clergy. A few hospitals have clergy parking places, and I always like to take advantage of those. And I'll take business card, put it on the dash so I don't get towed. I don't want to get, you know, accused of. Or sometimes I don't have a business card. I just put a Bible on the dash. And then they'll just figure, this must be a preacher. But one of the great privileges of being a pastor is being able to visit people in the hospital anytime. I mean, there's just times you're walking through a hospital and it's 9 o'clock at night and you're going to visit someone and you know it's cool with the visitor and security or somebody says something to you and you just say, I'm their pastor, and they're just like, oh, go right ahead. One time they asked me for a business card at Old Elmhurst Hospital. I didn't have one. They kicked me out of there. I remember taking some students with me. One of the students had surgery, so a bunch of students wanted to go with me to the hospital. I got like 7 people in after hours, just, he's a pastor and we're with him. Just march right in. There's not a lot of privileges with being a pastor, but that is one of them. And also, when you go to visit people, sometimes in behavioral units, it's like, doesn't matter what visiting hours are, it's just, well, go ahead and get them, the preacher's here. It's one of those things that makes you feel good. But they weren't clergy, and they're going in the middle of the night. They can't warn Mary and Joseph that they're coming. They just showed up. Where do you think God's calling you to show up? With whom do you think God's calling you to show up? Now, it might seem really obvious, but your spouse, you know, sometimes we're married for so long, we forget that our spouses need certain things from us. Maybe our spouses need more than what we're giving. Maybe there are seasons in life where one needs to be more the giver and not the taker. But sometimes we just need to show up. I want to talk to you a little bit about Explore God Chicago, which I've talked with you about before. But we as a church are one of the over 600 churches that's participating in Explore God Chicago. And we're on their website. We're registered with them. We have signs that are ordered. So hopefully, 2 weeks from today, if you want a yard sign, and I'll warn you now that you might have to get some boiling water to get it into the earth in your front yard. But we ordered 50 signs. And we're going to use a number of them around here. There are certain ones of you who live close to the church. and I drive past your house sometime, I'm already planning on putting one in your lawn. You can guess who you are. You know if it's 56th Street or Wilmette, Richmond. I know where you live. They weren't free. If you'd like to take one, it'd be really nice if you gave $5 or $10. It cost around $10 a sign, but we won't demand that. We'd love for you to take it. But you know, sometimes what you give towards, we value more. In 2019, you're going to hear me talk about five words. I'm going to talk about two of them this morning. The first one, show up. You can call it show up or attend. I want to encourage you this morning to consider however much you attend activities, Sunday mornings, other times here at West Hills. They just say, in 2019, we're going to take it to the next level. Why? Because it encourages other people. Your presence encourages other people. When some folks were coming in today, I heard something I love to hear. I think most of the kids have headed downstairs, but Sam was coming in with his treats. He had them in his hands, and he turned around. He looked at me, he goes, it's packed. And he went back out. So hopefully they found some seats, yes, over there. I don't think I've ever seen you guys sit over on that side. It's radical to sit on the other side of the church. Thank you for stealing their seats. The reason why I encourage you as well to attend, let's take a look at a verse. This is in Hebrews. And after I text the verses to Joe in the morning, he puts them in the computer. On my way here, I almost always listen to Caleb on the way. And I had a little moment in the car because the guy on K-Love read this verse. Right, and I had like that music going and stuff like that in the back of my mind. Kind of freaky. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. And I shared this with you guys not that long ago. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So what's it saying? It's saying, folks, get together. And I know we talked about it, that some people say, Jesus, yes, church, no. Folks, I believe that the best days of West Hills are ahead of us. I really do. And I'm going to be honest about some things here this morning. I really believe our best days are ahead of us. I was at the chapel the other night for the PADS program. And when, you know, since I'm not a part of their church, some of the people, they're like, oh, what church are you part of? And only one person did I tell that I was the pastor. I usually don't give up that information. And I could be under the radar with them. But it was sad. One person said, oh, wasn't there something that went wrong there a number of years ago? And, you know, pretty much every church anywhere, something went wrong a couple of years ago. But that saddened me to hear that. Over the course of this weekend, we had the chance to bring the new flooring in yesterday. And let me say this, that Thursday we're going to need to move some things downstairs. So some of you who weren't able to help yesterday, we'll give you a chance to help on Thursday. I say that and I'm smiling at Butch because I gave him, basically it's my fault, I gave him the wrong time, so he showed up after it was done. He was very upset, he said, but his back thanks me that he didn't have to carry the flooring in. But yesterday, after we carried the flooring in last night, I really felt like the Lord just said to me, Paul, I'm laying a new foundation at West Hills. God wants to do something great at this church. God wants to raise the level of expectation. What did that one shepherd do? He said to the other guys, let's go. What if he didn't say that? We wouldn't be talking about him. It took one person to say, let's go. So the second word, if the first word is attend, the second word is invite. And you can't invite people to something that you're not going, I don't want to go there, but why don't you? I don't want to explore God, but why don't you explore God? That doesn't work really well. The simplest thing that causes people to come to church and to not come to church is simply people. I will never forget being in Haiti in 1981. They call it a toenail. It's a thatched grass roof, and the walls were palm fronds that were woven together. You could look through them. And I'll never forget seeing a little boy. I was seated on this wooden bench here. He was just outside that palm frond wall looking in. The wall was paper thin, but something caused him to know that he should not come in, he must stay out. In Haiti, sometimes it's the way that people are dressed, and that's one of the greatest challenges we've had with our churches down in Haiti. with New Hope, is to let people know that you can come as you are. Because a lot of Haitians can't afford to come all dressed up. I want to encourage you to invite people. In essence, take ownership of West Hills as your church. Now, the Explore God, I don't want it just to be for Explore God. I remember a couple of Easters ago, we packed the place. It was packed. We had the lobby was packed with chairs. And the next week, we were back to our normal attendance. Honestly, I'm glad people came for Easter, and I'm glad you invited them. But I wanted to get into our DNA that we invite people, that we include people. And I think Explore God is a great way to do it. So also, hopefully, next Sunday, we're going to have business-sized cards for you that have a little information about the church. And on the back, they have the 7 questions, starting with January 13th. And just asking all kinds of questions. Is there a God? Does my life matter? All kinds of stuff like that. Those are the 7 big questions we're going to deal with. But here's how this could work, because some of you are just, as soon as I said invite, some of you are like, oh, I'm inviting myself to leave right now, man. This is scary stuff, talking to people. It can be this simple. You can say to a coworker, you can say to a friend, you can say to a neighbor, have you heard about Explore God, Chicago? And they say, yes or no? And they say, oh, yeah, you know, I've been seeing these billboards. I heard an ad on the radio, whatever it might be. And I know some of you have a prayer list. You've been praying for people. Be intentional about it. That's great. And I realize that some of the people might see our signs and go to another church. That's totally cool. We are in this together, over 600 churches, with the goal to bring people to Christ. We're going to be doing some small group discussions. And the idea isn't that we just go to the small group discussion, but that we invite someone to come to us. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back if you're interested in being part of a small group discussion that will start the third week of January, the week after the 13th. Put your name down. Let us know what night you might be interested in doing. But here's how it can work. It can just be this simple. You just ask someone if they know, if they've heard about Explore God. Maybe they say yes, maybe they say no. But you've planted a seed. Because then they're going to be driving down Wilmette, or they're going to be driving down 55th or 56th, or a lot of other places, they're going to see Explore God. And you see it enough times, and you know what? They can look it up on their phone, or they can look it up on their computer when they get back home. And they can start to see what the questions are. And then, after next week, you can hand them a card. We'll have hundreds of them for free. You can just take them. We don't want to just leave stacks of them. All I'd ask is that you hand them to someone. But just ask them, have you heard about Explore God? And they say, no, what's it about? This will explain the whole thing. It has all 7 questions. It has the dates. It has our address. It has information. And then maybe the next week, it comes up again. I want to encourage you to do 2 things in 2019. Now, some of you attend here. I don't think there's anybody who attends too much. There's a couple of you that you're here more than I am, okay? And maybe you need to cut it down just a little bit. But most of us could stand being here more. And I am not about going to 7 Bible studies a week. We need to get out and love people, so we don't need to be at Bible studies all the time. But I want you to be intentional about attending and inviting. Many years ago, God gave over 5 acres of land, and we now call it West Hills Community Church. We have not reached our potential. Now, some of you are like, I've heard you're retiring soon. Do you know what's a scary thought? On February 18th, 2019, I can start withdrawing from retirement accounts without penalty. 59 and a half. I remember when it hit me a couple years ago that I'm putting something into a retirement account, and I'm like, it won't mature before I could have gotten it out, that legally, without penalty. What's my point? The elders know this. I've talked to them about it. Do I plan on retiring someday? I don't really plan on retiring, but do I think someday West Hills would be better off with a younger pastor to reach the next generation? I do. I don't know exactly what that looks like. Casey's not here. Don't worry. I'm not trying to set Casey up here and not give him a choice in the matter. But I've pretty much had the idea that 5 years from now, when I'm 64, that might be a good time to have someone here who would be the next guy. Now, some of you are like, we're not keeping you around for another 5 years. Are you crazy? We're done with you, buddy. Some people are laughing, so I'm not exactly sure what that means. It's okay. So I was thinking like another 5 years, and I don't plan on retiring. I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. I mean, retirement is when you get to do what you really want to do, and a lot of what, that is what I'm doing now. My concern is for West Hills. My goal from the very beginning was to leave it better than it was when I arrived here. And I believe that we're taking steps forward. But last month, and I chatted with one of the elders about this, they don't know this. We have a hot tub. I call it my think tank. And I was in my think tank about a month ago. And I can't explain it, but God talks to me. Just asked me a question. He said, are you good? You good at West Hills for another 5 years? And I said, yes. And God said, how about 10 years, son? I said, yes. I'm not saying this is binding or anything. I'm just saying the conversation we're having. And I don't know how to explain it, but God promised me grandchildren when I was single and didn't seem like there was any chance of me having grandkids. He promised me grandchildren. And I got 7 grandkids now. I mean, God keeps his promises to me. God has promised me that I will live to 74 years old. I think beyond that. I don't think it's a limit, but I believe I'll get there. That's why I can drive the way I do. I know I'm going to live, so. Poor people that drive around me. They won't make it to 74. I'm really just kidding. I know we have some visitors here today. I'm really joking about that. So God asked me, are you in for 5 years? And I said, yes. It's kind of like you know, Lord. And then he said, 10. I said, yes. He said, how about 15, son? I said, yes. I don't plan on retiring. And see, 15 is significant because that's 74. So that's an important number for me. Now, do I think there's going to be more? I do. I do believe. What am I saying? I'm saying, folks, I'm in. Heidi has no idea about any of this. She thinks I'm retiring next year. She's downstairs with the kids today, so I can tell you about this. No. We're in. My invitation to you this morning is to go all in with West Hills in 2019. To just say, we're gonna serve, we're gonna grow. It's time for West Hills to grow. It's time for us to see some things happen that haven't happened in this building for a long, long time. I kind of figured that I wouldn't be around to see what happens on this piece of property. And sometimes in my think tank, God kind of taps me on the shoulder and says, son, maybe you will be around. Now, am I saying I'm going to be here till I'm 74? That's up to God. I'm just saying I'm willing. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do to reach our community? You know, I think of the shepherds. They had an awakening. There's no question they had an awakening. I wonder how many of us today would say, you know, I could really use an awakening. Let's just take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, we present ourselves before you. And I thank you for each person who's here. And Lord, I thank you that we're not in this alone. Lord, I know that there are some people that go through different stages where they'd say they're burned out. And we always want to be sensitive to that. And we want to bring people back. And we want to restore people. We want this to be the place where people are healed. But Lord, I am convinced you didn't give us over 5 acres of land in the middle of DuPage County for the vast majority of it to be unused for the sake of the gospel. Guide us, direct us. Father, there's some people here today that think that they're not an important part. I'm thinking those shepherds are out there in the field that night, not thinking this story is all about us. And then all of a sudden, they are right in the middle of the greatest story ever told. Help us to see that all of us are a part of the greatest story that's ever told. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that's what he came to be. Because that's what we need. He didn't come to be a carpenter. He didn't come to be a good public speaker. He came to be the Savior of the world, for men, for women, for children. Father, I just pray that by your Spirit, you bring about an awakening in those that would recognize that they don't know him as Savior. Touch them this season. Maybe it'll be the next song we sing, or maybe it'll be in the mall on Tuesday. The truth is in so many of these Christmas songs we sing. May it penetrate our souls this year. We pray it in Jesus' name. I invite you to stand.